This is TWiT.
All right, so we've got four wonderful, glorious factors that contribute to worker unhappiness. This is where we get really cheery.
Yeah, this is the happy part of the book. It's the the slough of despond.
So money is the first one that you point out, and you know, there's a whole lot of factors. We don't have to go into obviously everything. That's why people need to pick up the book Lab Rats and read through it for themselves to kind of get the details. Income inequality seems like a really big component of this. I mean, and we see it all the time when we hear just about how these, you know, high powered CEOs, how much they're worth in comparison with the employees of their company, how that gap is widening so much, how the most important factor for a company is making money for its investors. And nowadays, it feels like things are a little different, right? It used to be that success was also balanced with the fact that a company could provide its workers a nice, you know, long longevity, a feeling of security, all that stuff. But that's just not happening.
Yeah. So I what happened is I ended up with this massive mountain of various things that make people unhappy, and I tried to boil it into four things just because it's easier to grasp that. And so there's money, insecurity or lack of job security, change, the idea that just we're faced with this constant change initiatives, and then dehumanization. And I think they're all important. Yeah, but to begin with money, yeah, there are two big factors. The income inequality, you see, just soaring in the last 10 years. And not just in Silicon Valley, but everywhere. But I think it is driven a lot by technology. And it's become a problem, a political problem, a social problem. It's a really, really... potentially really bad force. I'm not saying this well, I'm sorry. But it's potentially really, really harmful to us in terms of our politics, in terms of the future of society, the fabric of society. Mm-hmm. And you have this new class of people now that are referred to as the precariat, where they really have no steady, stable income, and they're financially are in a precarious situation. They live from month to month. So, say the gig economy worker is the best example of that. And essentially, technology starting in about the year 2000 enabled this massive wave of outsourcing in the United States. And then, as all those jobs got decimated, they were replaced with gigs that have no benefits, that have no security, no stability. Another incredible data point that I hadn't been aware of was just the amount of money that used to go to wages, the percent of GDP that went to wages has slowly shrunk, such that, simply put, I mean, just workers are getting less money now than they used to. That's we all kind of feel that way, but there's actually data that bears that out. And one estimate is that alone is the equivalent of $2 trillion a year, that if we went back to where we were, there would be $2 trillion more a year in wages going to workers in the United States. So it's a huge number that's been sucked out of the economy. So you look at that, so we're getting paid less, but at the same time, we have much more stressful jobs. We have no job security or much less job security, where we go to work and we're put into open offices instead of where we used to work. So there's change physically in where we work. There's change in how we work because we're agile, say. And then dehumanization is probably a book in and of itself. So essentially, we have worse conditions and you get paid less for it. So what also struck me as really significant about this is that when you go back to the late 90s and look at what people were predicting about the age of the internet, it was exactly the opposite of all this. So there was a great article by Kevin Kelly in Wired called The Roaring Aughts. No, The Roaring Zeros. And his prediction is, you know, the good news is you're going to be a millionaire soon. The bad news is that so will everyone else. And people were talking about this massive surplus of income we would have. We were going to have you know, just generate so much money. We have lots of free time. So all the discussion was sort of very utopian. And then I almost feel like if we could take our 1999 selves and, you know, have a moment where you say, well, this is what it's really going to look like in 2018. We're going to have, you know, rising income inequality. We're going to have people blowing their brains out at work, or taxi drivers in New York blowing their brains out because the internet has destroyed the value of their taxi medallions, and you know, antidepressant use soaring, suicide rate soaring. You almost wouldn't have believed it. Oh, and Donald Trump is president, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the 1999 version of any of us just did not see any of this coming. And that's, to me, a fascinating thing. How did we get to that point where the internet's just about to take off in the year 2000, and then, wow, everything takes off a 90-degree turn and goes, you know, off to the right instead of on the path we were on? That to me is a really, really interesting phenomenon.